what Miss Ruth and Merchant Sam then describe are further steps whereby one begins to make larger movements, slow, larger movements, and if lying, for instance, rolling to one side or the other, rolling onto the front, gradually coming to hands and knees, slowly, slowly feeling one's way into standing, all from this, you're fully immersed in this concentration or this contemplation of whatever it may be, a phrase, a symbol, an archetype, a being, actual being, and then beginning to move in space, just moving in open space. This seems to be, in elongated form, what Miss Ruth said she was doing.
So without me, with the eyes closed?
With
the eyes closed?
No, the eye, that's the challenging bit. At some point the eyes begin to open, but you're still there,
yeah.
You see. And sometimes it helps just to have the eyes half open when this next phase happens. But one becomes then aware of one's surroundings, but still here, breath, feeling, and so forth. The other way that the process can work, and this seems to have happened to Merchant Sam quite a bit, is when entering this sort of reverie, then fully formed dance movements, fully formed, you could say, dances came to him. And this sort of thing can happen without going through the slow process. So contemplating the phrase here with breathing and heartbeat, for instance, then the natural rhythm of the phrase, the natural rhythm of the breath mingle, and from that a particular intonation arises, particular music arises, movement arises, for instance. So it's not always so logical and so scientific, but this is where it sort of starts from. Merchant Sam says this, I think I read, dances came to him in sort of visionary form. And one can see this in the early dances very clearly, because some of them are more or less fully worked out. Angels can dance in particular ways that humans can't, for instance. And so when you try things out with human bodies, modifications sometimes need to be made. But sometimes things just come through full, done, complete, and that's it. And nothing needs to be modified. So, now, many of these movements that we use in the dances just seem logical and natural, and how could we do anything else? But you can imagine that at one point it wasn't that way. It seems like, how could you do any other movement for Yahai Yahuk than Yahai Yahuk? But I can tell you, from working with Muslims who have grown up with these phrases, this is all quite new to them. And they're very enthused by it. Anyway, there were Muslims I've worked with, but then it was in a particular setting, and particularly the younger generation. So particularly the walks, using these gestures with the wazifas. It's just like, wow, I never understood what these phrases were about. I didn't know they were about anything except just, words in my mind. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine. Because some of us were grown up and raised in other traditions, and we didn't understand what, we just said words and, what did it mean? So this is really what, Miss Ruth was on about, and then Merchant Sam picked it up in his particular way. And I wanted to just read a few brief words from Miss Ruth to give you a flavor of her. And these are just short quotes from the Divine Dance Book, which is in the Wisdom Comes Dancing. Some of this you'll recognize, but again, remember she's writing this in the 1930s, this one. I think Divine Dance. 30s or 40s, I think this was written. She says, we should realize in a vivid and revolutionary sense that we are not in our bodies, but our bodies are in us. Which is sort of Zen, you know, or whatever.
Well, not really.
No.
It's just energy, isn't it?
It's just energy, yeah. She says, to dance is to relate oneself to the whole of the universe. By placing one's body in the direct power of rhythm, it becomes molded and developed in strength and beauty. Our bodies are, at once, the receiving and transmitting stations for life itself. It is the highest wisdom to recognize this fact and train our bodies to render them sensitive and responsive to nature, to art, and to religion. We have the capacity to receive the messages of the stars and the songs of the night winds. We can hear the silent voice of the spiritual universe within our hearts. We can scale the heights of the mountains and see the world rayed out below us. But often we are like the blind calling loudly for color to be created, or the deaf saying that someone should create sound. In all times, people have danced together for the sheer joy of it. Social and religious dancing has brought people together in harmony through the unifying power of rhythm. Even the animals dance together for various purposes, both protective and joyful. The age of preaching is slowly passing, and the age of expression is upon us. The age of revelation by all manner of new means of beauty. In stillness, we know, we feel, we realize. In silence, we become aware of the divine river of our life flowing from an inner source. In silence, we disconnect ourselves from the swirling atoms of discord and unfold ourselves in strength and beauty. In silence, we perceive the lotus of the law, opening its petals in order and proportion and harmony. It is vibrant with life, perfect in design, and luminous with love. And then she says, the dance of the future will no longer be concerned with meaningless dexterities of the body, but will move in harmony and with the compassionate and joyous rhythms of love, and will obey in strength and balance the vital laws of truth. The group of the divine dance becomes the symbol of the human unity held together by the dynamic rhythm of the manifested cosmic Christ, spiritual truth. But as I believe that going upstream to the source of any one human activity leads us to our deeper selves, So do I believe that the dance holds within its vital elements the solution of many of our human problems, physical, emotional, and spiritual. The real message of the dance is to open up the vistas of life to all who have the urge to express beauty, with no other instrument than their own bodies, with no apparatus and no dependence upon anything but space. I'll leave you that bit. So there's a lot more like this in the actual book. But she wrote quite well, and, you know, although a bit florid at times, quite clearly on many of these issues. Many of her poems, maybe her writings, I would say, certainly an expression of an early ecological sensibility, eco-spirituality sensibility, as well as a quite a deep feminism, let's say. Because obviously, even working in the entertainment industry at that time, she would have experienced, you know, quite extreme examples of sexism, I would say, at least from what she says in her bibliography, so, her biography. So, anyway, interesting woman, wonderful woman, and sort of a, let's say she would be a one-off mystic, a natural mystic, except that she did train people. Probably, you know, it, as I say, the students of the students of the students, it then becomes something else, but at least for a while it transformed modern dance and, to some degree, the cultural life of, at least of America, I would say. So,
yeah. Did she train Isadora Duncan?
No, she didn't. Isadora was another, although Isadora was really a one-off in that sense. She had, her life was cut quite short. Murshid Sen had the interesting comment that whereas Isadora Duncan, his perception was that Murshid Sen was that Isadora Duncan moved from the sort of the solar plexus more, and Rusin Dennis always was doing things from here, from the heart. And again, for what it's worth, Sam's perception was that it was more difficult to maintain a balance for her in the solar plexus, the lower chakra stuff. That if she had learned to sort of also balance it with heart, she might have been around a bit longer. So, but who knows?
Especially if she hadn't worn that scarf.
There's the scarf problem. There was the scarf problem.
Yes. Sorry.
No, I know. Well, that's right. It's all part of the story.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, obviously, she has had a massive influence on culture here as well, in the world of dance. Martha Graham, particularly, we've heard of. And I'm sure I've seen a movie or something with Ruth.
Yeah.
Denise.
It was said that she was the most photographed woman of her time, actually.
Oh, yes, right.
So, both still photos, there are many of them in the book. And some of the films are still available. They were converted into video, and you can find them online now, I think, probably.
There's a whole file of photographs of her that you can download from the internet.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
A lot of beautiful pictures.
Yeah, amazing pictures. So. Yeah.
And would you have understood what we were doing just now as related to kind of the Hezekiah kind of prayer in the Eastern Church?
Maybe. Would she have understood it that way? Mm. Possibly so, because I mean, I don't know if she did study various mystical traditions, but again, it was all later than her own sort of awakening experience. At least it seemed to me, and from what she describes in her autobiography, and then she was looking for, well, who else knows things about this, or you know, Sufis. Oh, okay, well, this or that, or but I think she did understand this prayer of the heart. In the Christian tradition, which is part of this Hesychast prayer in the Orthodox tradition. I can't remember if she did anything from that tradition. Toward the end of her life, she did quite a bit with Christian sacred dance and founded this group called the Sacred Dance Guild, which is still in existence in the U.S., actually, which is now it's pretty much dancing hymns, from what I can tell. But... okay. Fair enough.
Did she have a direct connection with the LA Sufi school, or was that Murshid Sen later bringing some of her?
She only had a personal, you know, a sort of relatively brief personal connection with Hazrat and Icon, but she didn't have any bayat or any initiation in any traditions that we can find. She was, you know, just sort of a, like I say, what we call natural mystic. And open to learn, open to receive from many different directions. A lot of examples of people like that. Anyway, thanks for your patience with that. You can imagine, you know, it wouldn't have to be dance or movement, but if you were focusing on something, any sort of creative project, you could start the same way, breathing, heartbeat, and then bring the feeling of that into your heart and see what arises. And instead of movement, there could be some image or some sound, or something else might arise. Anyway, it's been my experience that this is can be a very simple yet helpful process in a creative endeavor. I mean, many of us, we're trying to solve a problem, we just go out for a walk, and so we get the body moving, and in the background somewhere, we're in nature, we're breathing, we feel more open, more free, but in the background somewhere that question is percolating, and then oftentimes the solution comes when one goes out for a walk. So, it's nothing different than that. It's natural to human beings, really. Anyway, I took up the whole session, didn't
I? I thought that was what was going to happen anyway. So.
he was ahead of me. What a guy. Yeah. Well, tonight we have something different or not?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think different. Like what we talked about when we were going to tea.
And now for something completely different. No, not quite.
Well, not different, but the things that, have arisen out of Meshed Sam's work. So maybe things that are more familiar to you in some ways, or to some people. And, some of Saadi's dances for sure are
and his.
Yeah. Because one of the other revolutions that Meshed Sam said he was going to do, he said he was going to make two revolutions. One of them was to teach the little children to walk. The other was to teach the people to do the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic.
There you go.
Which is what you picked up on in that. When you were doing that work for Supervision.
That was a real rabbit hole. So, anyway, but yeah, we'll do some stuff.
So we'll have it that kind of evening. So. But it's a good idea to move the dance now, 5 minutes. The other aspect of the dances as they were was they were very short in the early days. So, they'd be over in a flash.
I'm trying to think if there's any short ones we haven't done so far.
There must be.
Takes a little longer to set up Ram Nam for 5, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That can be fast, but...
And so, there was a quick build-up in those things, and almost some of them you can't really carry on with them for very long, like this Ram Nam for 5, because it's a small circle, and then it builds up too quickly, and then it kind of comes into creation, sustaining, and then it's going downhill.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Energetically, so we kind of space them out a bit.
Really. Yeah. No, those are. It's always a question of when to bring them to conclusion with those. Mm. I always want to finish them on a peak rather than the valley.
Yeah.